Hello, and welcome back to MetalDisciple.com's Metalheads Podcast. My name is George.
And I'm Buke.
So I wanted to talk about something I've been noticing on Twitter lately. A couple years ago, the website was called Rock Music Critic, and I started the site with that name, intending to cover metal, lots of metal, but also things outside of the realm of metal. But that didn't really end up happening because there wasn't really any good rock music anymore.
Yeah.
I just sort of wanted to have the option to talk about whatever I wanted.
Like we talked about last week, Gene says rock is dead, right?
Exactly. It is. And so, a couple of years ago, I changed the name to Metal Disciple, thinking, you know, what's a good metal name? And Disciple, you know, as I've mentioned before, I took it from the Attacker song title. I thought that was a really cool song. I'm like, I really like metal. I pretty much worship metal. Disciple's kind of cool. Since then, I've come to find a couple things. First of all, nobody can spell disciple. So if you're like, metal disciple, they're like, huh? So that was kind of a poor choice. But more interesting is the amount of religious content I receive now. And people on Twitter are following me.
Really?
I get all these, like, what was the one I just got? It was like three gospel friends or something like that. It was like a podcast of these three ministers that are friends that talk about things. And I was like, no, you don't get it. Disciple is not exclusively a Christian thing. You can be a disciple of something without technically having, I mean, I know I used it in a religious way, but, and I'm just like,
so all those followers you have.
Well, not that many of them, but you know, every once in a while, pretty regularly, I'll get something and I'll go, no, these people don't know what they're in for. I'm like, well, you know, I don't follow them back because that would, you know, that would be pointless. But I'm just curious how many of them have actually paid any attention, you know, or is it just like another blip on their Twitter feed, or if they've actually realized the error of their ways.
All it takes is looking at your picture. They're going to be into your Twitter.
I know. I don't get it. I don't get it.
You and corpse paint and
I guess. Very strange, but
maybe they want to follow you too.
Maybe.
They want to be your disciple.
Yeah, they're not following me because they're interested. They're following me to keep an eye on me. They're like, we know your evil ways and we will keep an eye on you.
So I wanted to start with something quick. I didn't want to ask you this before, you know, in the notes. I just wanted to kind of shoot you off the cuff here. I was watching something about, it was actually Behind the Music of Black Sabbath yesterday, the updated one.
Mm-hmm.
And Henry Rollins made the point that, you know, for every generation, like, hey, fathers will introduce their sons to Sabbath. Those sons will in turn introduce their kids to Sabbath. But he was saying that, oh, he really wasn't, but it made me think, have there been any bands like a Sabbath that you wish you were around for when they were starting, that you didn't join in later? Because I think we touched on this a couple weeks back when it was like you, when you first found Metallica.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any. Every band I'm finding now, it's, you know, bands starting now. Every band that we've talked about here, I'm years late to the party.
Right.
Is there any band think of that you became a fan of later that you wish, man, if you just would have been hooked on them right at the start and kind of rode their wave as it built?
That's an interesting question. I know Blind Guardian, I've mentioned, is one that, yep, I didn't know about for the first four or five albums somehow. Which, you know, it was just the nature of the pre-internet world, yeah, I suppose. I'm sure there's other ones, yeah, though.
Just something to think about, you know.
Woods of Ypres, I came in Woods 4, and I was like, duh. Why? Yeah, I'd heard of them, but for some reason I hadn't listened to them before that.
Yeah.
So I was definitely late to that party.
Every band I listen to, like I just said, every band I listen to, I'm late in this.
Obituary is another one. I heard them back in the day and didn't like it, and so I've gone 25 years or whatever without listening to Obituary, and now I'm like, Obituary rules, man!
Yeah, see, that's what I was going with, yeah.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, there are, you know, occasionally things that either I didn't pay enough attention or for one reason or another I never listened to them. But, you know, I'm so obsessive compulsive about collecting metal that most things I've at least heard of.
Yeah. Nothing slips through your...
my evil grasp. So I was thinking the other day, You know, people give Metallica a lot of crap about, oh, you've sold out and you changed your style and all this and that. But you know, one thing I've noticed is that despite the fact that people call them greedy, they don't make real money grabs like other bands. They've got so much great music and such a catalog. Ever heard of a Metallica best of album, a Metallica compilation album, any sort of, hey, let's just throw it out to make a little extra money? No, Metallica takes damn good care of their catalog. They only release, well, okay, I can't say they only release the good stuff. There are some stinkers in there, but
it's like this. You haven't seen, at least, correct me if I'm wrong, you haven't seen like the 15-year, the 20-year re-release, the 25-year re-release.
Exactly. And, you know, is Metallica re-recording Kill 'Em All? No. So, I mean, granted, they have all the money in the world and don't need to, but still, people should maybe think about that a little bit. The fact that Metallica is pretty respectable when it comes to what they offer for sale. You may not like the songs, but at least the products they're putting out are quality and they're not trying to scam you with, you know, bullshit. They don't let anybody repackage their stuff and, you know, go to Walmart and buy Metallica's 80s hits or some stupid shit like that.
It's a great point. When you see other bands, one band that quickly comes to mind is Misfits.
Oh, yeah.
In the sense that you see their logo branded on everything. I don't know if you could call that a money grab, but it's branded up across everything. You know, I've seen it on posters and, you know, little knickknacks for around the house. I can't believe I just used that word, but you see it for little things around the house, you know, like, hey, here's a Misfits tissue dispenser.
Yeah, it's like Kiss, you know, you can get anything in the world that you can buy, you can get it with a Kiss logo on there.
In Metallica, at least, I've never seen that. You know, you see the shirts.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
So you can call them a media whore if you want, but don't call them a money whore.
Yeah, their live albums, I wouldn't call them a money grab that they do now.
No, that's more of a service.
Yeah.
You know,
since they have the money and amazing capabilities to record it, and you want to capture it, like, hey, I was at that show.
Yeah, and, you know, they could be taking those live shows and packaging them and selling them as a DVD package. Or, I mean, obviously they did for the
Through the Never.
Yeah, Through the Never. But that was a specific special thing that they did. Whereas, you know, it's not just some random live album. You know, they're like, well, you can just download them online for $10 or whatever. That's more of a service than a scamming the fans kind of thing. So yay Metallica.
We talked about it when we did our Napster discussion, but if people only would have talked to you 15 years ago, you were so anti-Metallica.
Hey, you know, I'm not perfect. I was outraged by the whole Napster thing and wasn't really happy with the music they were putting out at the time, so sure. But that was 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I have matured and I have learned and I have become more wizened in the ways of metal.
Oh, speaking of them, I picked up their And Justice reissue the other day.
Yeah.
Man, slick looking. That cover on vinyl looks great.
Yeah.
Nice big cover.
I've got the like half speed whatever version of it. I haven't listened to it yet, but I have it. So you recently mentioned the Jamie Josta podcast. Mm-hmm. I happened to have time to listen to a couple of those episodes last week, and it was so depressing. I listened to the Randy Blythe episode and the Tom Warrior episode.
Mm-hmm.
What chance do us mere mortals have when somebody like him is putting out a podcast? That's not fair. You've already got your career. You've already got your niche.
I was on Twitter the other day. It was like, hey, check out the latest Metal Blade podcast.
Yeah, that comes out like once every 3 months. I listened to one. It wasn't bad. I think it was a King Diamond one.
Yeah, but Justa, that's a great point.
I'm like, dude, it's a good podcast. I'm not knocking him. I was intrigued and I enjoyed it. And it made me actually go out and listen to some Hatebreed. But, you know, in a joking way, I have to go, man, that's just not fair. You know, he's got unprecedented access to people in the industry. He's like, hey, I'm Jamie Justin. They're like, oh, hey, I haven't seen you since the last barbecue, you know? I'm like,
we try and reach out to artists on Twitter, and they that's about the reach we have.
Granted, we've had opportunities that we've had to turn down because we don't know how to record certain things yet. But yeah. But anyway, the ultimate point I wanted to make was it is a good podcast. You should check it out.
Yeah.
I guess let's get into some news stories. Probably the top news story that I was really happy to hear about this week was that Black Sabbath is indeed planning to start work on a new album next year and then go out on one final tour.
I'm going to say it. I don't know how, and anybody can. You know, I'm not the one who, you know, likes all music that people say is good out there, but I don't know how anybody cannot like their last album.
I know. The tour is a completely different thing. The tour obviously was horrible. So I'm not as concerned about seeing them again.
Maybe you could say, hey, Bill's not in it. I'm not listening to it. But amazing, amazing album.
Yeah, it was definitely probably my album of 2013. I didn't do a list last year, but if I had, it would have been at the top of the list. I mean, it was just, is a monumental thing. You have to, whether you like Sabbath or not, you have to admit that was like 30 years coming. It's a big deal. And I'm just hoping that this next release can at least keep that level of quality.
It's just, they all just, everything was hitting on all cylinders for that album.
Yeah. Well, I hear they're going to use Rick Rubin again, which from what I hear, using Rick Rubin is like not using a producer, but because he's never there. But apparently the time that he is there, he does make some good decisions. So, hey, if they're going to use the if it ain't broke, don't fix it method, maybe we'll get something good.
Haven't they already done a couple of farewell tours, though?
Well, I mean, with Ozzy, you know, there was first he was kicked out of the band, so yeah. It wasn't really a farewell. And then there was the Live Aid performance in the 80s.
You know, I was watching that Behind the Music yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, Live Aid, they played only three songs. And yeah. They went on at like 10 in the morning.
I don't think it was 10 in the morning. Well, it may have been 10 in the morning, like wherever they were.
Yeah.
I spent like hours watching that stupid show, waiting for them to come on. I saw it live. But it was horrible. I mean, I did not have a wide range of musical tastes at the time. I was like, you suck, you suck, you suck, you suck. Hey, Black Sabbath.
Yeah, I've heard of those things. What was this? It was just a big televised.
It was, you know,
kind of like what we had done for like 9/11.
Yeah, it was, I think, like for African famine relief or something like that. So it was a big deal. I mean, it had only been like, what, 6 or 7 years that he'd been out of the band at that point, but it was still a big deal then. And then I know they did like the Ozfest thing
a couple times.
I don't know if that was considered a farewell tour or not. I didn't see any of those.
I saw him a couple times.
So, I don't know. Given Tony Iommi's health, this really could be a farewell tour.
It certainly could.
Let's hope not.
I tell you, when we saw them on that 13 tour, amazing.
Yeah.
They didn't look like they lost any step at all.
Other than that Ozzy wasn't singing very well.
True.
But, you know, maybe he was having monitor problems. You know, if people can't hear what's going on, they tend to sing like crap.
Oh, I thought you were saying monitor problems as if his lyrics weren't scrolling
well,
correctly.
Hey, man, I'd need that too. I can't remember shit. That's why we have notes.
Yeah, speaking about that, what do you think about singers who use monitors for lyrics?
I don't have a problem with it because I'd have to do it myself. I mean, even when I was doing music, I have no idea how people can remember. You know, I might be able to memorize one song, but like 10 songs? Forget about it. I don't have that kind of memory. I drink too much beer, smoke too much pot in the 80s and 90s. You know, I can't remember things like that. There's no way. So, you know, Bruce Dickinson, I applaud you.
Mm-hmm.
But,
Yes, because he ain't singing a couple, you know, lines, chorus.
That's an impressive retention.
Yes.
But me, I can't fault anybody for using it. Particularly Ozzy, man. That dude's lucky that he can even, like, walk and talk. So, but, you know, maybe if he can't hear the mix well in his in his monitors, then maybe that's why he was singing so off.
Also, you know what you're getting when you go see Ozzy live now. So
yeah, it's hit or miss. You know, I've seen him so many times over the years, and it's like every third time I see him, he sounds like shit. But then the next time I see him, he sounds great. So
And if you got to a point at Ozfest, it's just like that. It was kind of like, you know, there was the excitement just kind of wasn't there because, again, it was so hit or miss that, you know, when he was headlining. And also, quickly going back to the Sabbath thing, I didn't realize the riff that the two that his that live album that he released after Randy was killed?
Tribute?
No, not Tribute. But he did Sabbath songs.
Oh, the Speak of the Devil.
Speak of the Devil. And it was, I think, that same week or the same month, Sabbath released their live album, the Dio. Live Evil. And apparently that caused another riff among the guys, too, that, you know, pulled them apart even more because, you know, it was Ozzy releasing a live album playing Sabbath,
mm-hmm.
you know, without the Sabbath guys.
Yeah, it's a real tragedy that Ozzy and Dio were at odds, you know, two of the coolest
Think of them together.
Singers, you know. Yeah, I mean, Dio, hands down, a better technical singer, but Ozzy, still one of the greatest heavy metal frontmen of all time. So, yeah, it's kind of a bummer that they were at odds.
Yeah.
But also understandable. So Rob Halford says he's ready to jump into the next Judas Priest record. I was like, wow, already?
Yes.
I'm still digesting Redeemer of Souls. I mean,
I have it on vinyl. I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, I listened to my vinyl.
I haven't listened to it yet.
It's good. I'm just like, really? I mean, I know they're touring it now, but, you know, nobody releases albums like every other year now.
But does Priest still get the same excitement, do you think, in the heavy metal fan base that they once had?
I think their older fans are probably pretty excited. I'm not really sure what the younger crowd thinks of Judas Priest, other than maybe, you know, they're metal gods. But yeah, I don't know. I don't have enough interaction.
Mm, yeah.
So we'll see what happens with that. The entire new Godflesh album is available for streaming on NPR.org. It's called A World Lit Only by Fire. NPR? Really?
I just sat here. I shook my head. If you can see me, I just shook my head. What?
That's unusual. I was pretty excited to hear this. Back in the day, this is a band that I didn't get on board with when they first came out. I bought a couple of their earlier albums. I'd have to look it up, but it was like their third album or something like that. I bought it and I was like, huh? It was very, you know, repetitive and vaguely industrial and, you know, in the early 90s, I just didn't get it. But I recently went back and listened to all these old albums, and I'm like, wow, this is so much like what I'm listening to now with, like, sludge metal and stuff, that I'm like, whoa, this is awesome. And so I've been really getting into Godflesh lately, and I'm excited to hear this.
Hmm.
I don't suppose you've ever listened to Godflesh.
No. Nope. No of them.
What about Finnish folk metalers Ensiferum? You heard them?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently they're finishing up a new album for release in early 2015. I'll be looking forward to hearing that.
Yeah, you actually turned me on to them.
Yeah. They're pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. Pretty popular, too.
And popular enough that their earlier fans are starting to give them the Metallica treatment of like, oh, you're selling out. You're changing your sound. You know, whatever. I like it all.
Yeah.
You know, they do good stuff. Did you see this news article about Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine?
I tapped out on this guy a long time ago.
I'm not a fan. I mean, I occasionally we'll have a moment where an old Rage Against the Machine song will be like, yeah.
Sleep Now in the Fire came on today and I was watching some movie and I was like, eh.
Yeah. You know, you know, a little bit of Rage goes a long way with me. I don't need a lot of Rage.
But that was one of the first albums I ever bought when I was a kid. Empire.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen him on that metal show and I was like, wow, he seems like a pretty cool guy. And he actually has a lot of metal knowledge.
He does.
And so I was, you know, sort of becoming more respectful of the guy. And then I read this article, and I really don't know what to think. The story here is that Tom and his entourage went to the Five Points Cafe in Seattle, and there was a line out front, and the place was packed. And they went to the doorman and said, Tom Morello wants a room in the back for him and his entourage. And the doorman knew who he was, and he's like, sorry, you know, we got nothing. We're packed. We're full. We're at capacity. And according to the doorman, Tom and his entourage became very dickish and
started to rage against the restaurant.
Exactly. They were feeling very entitled, like they should have this room that doesn't apparently exist. And so it made the news, and, you know, the owner of the restaurant wrote an open letter to Tom explaining how he was a fan and he wasn't a fan anymore because what the fuck, you're such a dick to come in here and be like this. And I was like, yeah, Tom's a dick. And then I read Tom's response and I'm like, I don't know. I mean, he still seems reasonable, but I don't know. I don't see why the restaurant owner would bother to make all this stuff up. So I don't know. I'm not sure what to think.
Trying to hold a man down.
let us know on Twitter. Tom Morello, dick. Tom Morello, not dick.
He's always, fascinated me in the sense that when you look at, I used to pick up a lot of the metal magazines. They would, every couple years, when they need, slow news time, they put out, greatest guitarists of all time. He always would be in that top 10, top 20 list.
Yeah.
I know he can make interesting sounds and stuff with his pedal work and his guitar and stuff like
that. Yeah, he used a new pedal that came out at the time.
Yeah, but I've never thought of him as one of the greats.
Not really. I mean, he's certainly a good guitarist, but...
Yeah, it's a bit weird that he would always make the list of great guitarists.
Yeah, well, the people that make lists, I guess I'm one of them, but don't always make good lists.
Yeah.
They're often confusing, and I'm sure when this end of the year list comes out that I'm going to make, it'll confuse a lot of people. Speaking of people who put out best of collections, King Diamond has a best of collection due in November. You think you're going to get that?
Probably not.
No, me neither. Most of King Diamond's solo work, they're, if not all of them, they're concept albums.
Yeah, like the Puppet Master one and...
Abigail, yeah. And Them. Yeah. And,
yep.
I'm not sure if there's any of them that aren't concept albums. So a best of collection is really kind of...
Out of context. Out of context. That's exactly right.
I mean, sure, there's songs that are better than others, and it'd be cool to have them in one place, but I can make that collection myself if I really wanted to. I've got all the albums. Mm-hmm. It just seems a little, unusual for something like that.
Mm.
But, it's out in November if you want it. Danny Filth is a busy boy. His side project band, Devilment, is releasing an album this fall, and then Cradle of Filth will enter the studio in November to work on their next album.
I know used to or still are a big fan of these guys. Danny's never clicked with me.
Yeah. The last few albums haven't really gotten me as excited as they have in the past, but I still pick them up. I'm curious what this Devilment's going to sound like, is he going to sing the same way? Is it going to be different? I don't know. Curious. Guess we'll find out. Motorhead is probably going to begin working on a new album in January. I know somebody across the table from me who does not care.
Yep.
I'm not letting that go.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking.
Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. I'm saying it. No, I was saying okay to them have a new album. Okay.
Yep. Yep. Well, I'll be checking it out. And finally, some sad news. You've probably already heard it by now, but AC/DC's Malcolm Young, his family has announced that he has dementia, which I'm assuming that means Alzheimer's.
After dealing this with my grandmother, who has this tragic...
Yeah, that's got to be one of the worst ways to go. I mean, certainly there are terrible ways to go, drowning, burning in fire, whatever. But, to just completely lose your mind and not remember people or what's going on, that's...
People don't understand, I'm going to speak, get a little... Open the doors to Buke here. It gets to the point, my grandmother has it. The things we take for granted, like eating and drinking, your dementia gets to the point where your mind doesn't even know how to do that anymore.
That's nuts.
You don't understand the concept of chewing and swallowing.
Wow.
You just sit there and just chew. Your mind doesn't connect. Hey, okay, I'm done chewing. Swallow now.
Wow.
Devastating news. That he could possibly get to the point and totally forget about all the success he saw with the band.
Yeah.
All the places he's been around the world, his family.
I had heard that they had always said that when one of the main members wasn't able to carry on, that they'd call it quits. So I'm a little surprised that they started working on a new album with his nephew, and they're carrying on, I guess.
You ever seen them live?
Actually, I have not. I've had friends that went. I really haven't liked any of their new music since... Razor's Edge, maybe. I was 90? Pretty much Razor's Edge and older is stuff that I like. So I haven't really paid attention to when they come around. But I always wanted to see them. Now, I don't know.
I'm surprised. No, you didn't put it on here for news stories to kind of pick things back up. Did you see the Mastodon video that's been...
No, I saw the headline for that. I was Mastodon video. Well, nah. I thought about you. I was I wonder if he'll say anything about this.
It's Mastodon and all their, crazy selves that they do,
Is it a story video or is it a concert video? Or
They were going for kind of a 90s, early 90s, brown, you know, the color tone.
Like a sepia?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was looking for. But it was kind of like dark imagery. And then about 30 seconds into it, it cuts to girls twerking. You ever seen that?
I've heard of it.
Just shaking their ass.
Yeah.
It just randomly cuts to that. And then like throughout the whole video, there's like this fat man with chains on him, and then it cuts to like four girls twerking, and then it goes to the band playing, and then it like 2 minutes in, it cuts to like, you know how like you see like dance offs,
yeah,
where like you and I are around for each other, you do your dance, and then it's like these girls having like a twerk off in front. It's weird. But it's raising some controversy right now. That is that sexist that they're, you know, featuring women like this. And why I bring it up is because one of the dancers came out and she says, you know, we didn't force us to do this. You know, we're proud of how we look. We're proud of how we can shake our ass.
Yeah, I have to assume that it's done ironically
to make fun, tongue in cheek.
Yeah,
so. And at one point, I don't know what you call this in movie, you know, video terms, but it cuts to this girl twerking, and then it like kind of does like the 70s like fade out, like a kaleidoscope
over her.
It's just weird.
Well, maybe I'll watch it just to see how goofy it is.
Yeah, so Mastodon was making headlines for their video. So how about we get into some new releases?
All right, well, one obvious new release that I already talked about was the new Godflesh, A World Lit Only by Fire. That's out this week. Make sure to check that out. Then there's a band that I have just been loving on for the last, I don't know, year and a half. They're called Gormathon.
Is this the guy with the big long beard?
Yes, the guy that looks like Saruman.
Yes, he does.
They signed to Napalm Records, and they're releasing their first album with them called Following the Beast. I actually have this on vinyl. Apparently, I ordered it from Napalm, and so they must have had an earlier European release because it showed up like a week ago. And I really like Gormathon because they've got sort of this like pagan metal sound, and his vocals are like sometimes they're kind of harsh, sometimes they're kind of clean, but not too clean. They're like a rough clean. And I really liked their single Land of the Lost. And so when I listened to this album, I was a little bummed out that a couple of the songs on this new album, Following the Beast, are actually songs I already had, like Land of the Lost and a couple others. So it was a little disappointing. But then I was like, well, the upside of that is I have Land of the Lost on vinyl now, and I love that song. So, you know, there's good and there's bad. But Gormathon is a band you really should check out. They're pretty fucking awesome.
Just check out a video for them, too.
Yeah,
You gotta see the singer.
Between the singer's beard and the drummer who barely moves, his hands just sort of twitch a little bit, and he just looks like he's dead. Yeah, definitely check them out. The new Orange Goblin album, Back from the Abyss, that's coming out. I've never been a real Orange Goblin fan. I tried listening to this again, though, because they're kind of like stoner, doomish, you know.
Okay.
And I was wondering if you'd ever listened to them.
I've heard, I may have.
Well, you ought to check it out. You might like it. I'm still not sold on them yet, but doesn't mean I won't get there. Another one I'm really excited about is the new Rigor Mortis, the final Rigor Mortis album, Slaves to the Grave. This is the last performance of Mike Scaccia, also of Ministry, who died a couple years ago. They're finally getting around to release this album. I haven't heard it yet, but I expect it's going to be pretty ripping. Next up, we've got the Texas Hippie Coalition and their new album, Ride On. I like these guys.
Correct me if I'm wrong, do they kind of have like a Clutch sound?
Nah, it's more like it's pseudo Pantera-ish in a way. I mean, they're from Texas. They shot one of their videos in Vinny's strip club from their last album. And it's, you know, it's like a groove metal with the singers is really big dude with a really deep southern voice.
Yeah, you were just doing it exactly
and
right.
It's a little bit outside of my wheelhouse in terms of what I usually mm-hmm. listen to. But damn, I love that guy's voice.
But that's where I guess the clutch thing comes in, because
I guess I can see what you're saying there. I mean, stylistically they're different, but yeah, Neil Fallon does have a deep kind of drawling voice like that.
Yeah. Which I got Clutch's latest on vinyl the other day.
Yeah. I had dinner across the table from Neil Fallon once.
Really?
In the backstage at On the Range. I was back there covering it with Charm City Devils, and you know, because I had the backstage thing, yeah. I got to go eat in the tent, and I'm sitting there. They had like, you know, rows and rows of picnic tables, and I'm sitting there eating my chow, and Neil Fallon comes along and sits down on the other side. I'm just like, Neil Fallon, holy shit.
Now,
don't say a word. Didn't say anything to him.
Now, I'm going to, I know Godless from the Metal Sucks podcast, him and I were talking a couple weeks back, and he's like, you guys fucking bounce around to 500 different things. Well, guess what? It's going to happen right now again. What do you think of them?
Who?
Clutch on a tangent.
I like them. They're a little strange for me sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I definitely respect what they do, and I dig Neil Fallon's voice. Sometimes they're a little strange, though. So, yeah. You know, I like some albums better than others. Their last one, Earth Rocker. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good.
It was really critically acclaimed. Success. Yeah. Critically acclaimed, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they do good stuff, but yeah. I don't know. I probably just haven't focused on their catalog as much as I should have. I remember when, was it Pure Rock Fury came out? I don't know if that was the song or the album. That's how much I know. But I really dug that album, too.
Yeah. It's okay. Tangent over. Back to...
Sorry, Godless. Jeez. That's what happens when you have some notes and you just let it go.
That's what happens when I'm ADD, you know?
Yeah.
Things pop into my head.
Welcome to the ADD podcast. Wait. Squirrel!
Yeah, wait. Oh, is that the new iPhone?
That is the new iPhone.
Okay.
All right. But yeah, Texas Hippie Coalition. That's some good shit. Weird name, good music. Check them out. Final new release this week is Winterfilleth and their new album, The Divination of Antiquity. I know you like these guys, don't you?
Yeah, when I saw it in our notes, weird, because you know I don't like black metal.
I was just going to note that. I was like, wait, I thought you liked these guys, but they're black metal.
Yeah, it's weird. It's hard to describe why these guys register with me. It's weird.
You have eclectic tastes.
Because when I hear them, I don't hear... what I would say, you know, true black metal type of sound, you know?
I don't know. It sounds pretty, I don't want to say generic, but it sounds like typical black metal. Yeah, at
I don't know why. I listened to one of their albums, and a couple of albums, and I like them. I don't know why. Hard to describe.
Well, that makes my job easier trying to convince you. Squirrel! So let's get into this week's indie band. This is Birch Hill Dam from Fitchburg, Massachusetts. They're getting ready to release their third album next week called Reservoir. I first heard these guys back in 2011 when they released their second album, Colossus. I did a review. I guess they liked it because they wrote me the other day and asked if I wanted to check out this one. I said, hell yeah, I want to check it out. I remember you guys. I said, you want to be on the podcast? They were like, sure. So now they're on the podcast. Like I said, they're getting ready to release this album next week, so make sure to check it out. We're going to play you a couple songs. This first one is called Balance.
Yeah.
All right, Birch Hill Dam. They got kind of a southern sound from the north. I dig them. All right, we'll stick around to the end of the show. We're going to play you another song from Birch Hill Dam. Why don't we get into our top three? Last week, you suggested we do In Flames. So that's what we're doing. Top three In Flames albums. What do you got for me?
I had fun doing this list, going back and listening to some of these old albums again. Number three was, this was a little harder than I thought to kind of formulate this album, because they, for a while, they're boom, 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 releasing really good albums.
Yeah.
Number three, Horacle.
Okay.
Episode 666 off that album I love. Number two, I just actually flipped this right here in my head because I was having a battle with myself. It's actually going to be, some people would say this is where they started to change and kind of go downhill a little bit, Reroute to Remain.
Really?
That has my favorite In Flames song, System, on it, Cloud Connected. That's the tour that we saw them on for the first time. Great album. Number one album's Clayman. Bullet Ride, Pinball Map.
Yeah, good stuff.
Great stuff. So, it's my top three In Flames albums.
Well, as usual, we're not too in sync.
That's why I love it.
A little bit in sync. Well, mostly in sync. Just different orders. My number three is Clayman.
Oh.
I like that one because that's really, for me, that's the album where they first started to really change. You know, throw in some clean vocals. But like the songs you said, those are great songs. Pinball Map and
Bullet Ride.
And it's a good album. And it was also like the last one they had for a long time where the production was good. See, I was surprised you went Reroute to Remain, because when I heard that one, I thought it sounded like shit. The vocals were all buried.
I could see that now.
I hated it. I hated like that album and like the next couple. I was just like, that was my rant for them, was I don't care if you're selling out, is that the fucking sound quality sucks. So Clayman, number three. Number two, Horacle.
Okay.
This is, each of the three albums that I'm talking about is slightly different. And it's really just sort of working its way back. You know, Clayman was a much bigger change. Horacle was a slightly different change. You know, they had slightly evolved from the album before that. But it was still really cool, melodic death metal. Good production. Fairly good production anyway for the time. And just good material. But number one, what's my number one?
I was going to say, maybe you found them with Lunar Strain.
Just Erase. Come on now.
Okay. Yep.
I found them with Just Erase. That was the first. Yeah, I went into the store when Just Erase came out, and I was like, oh, it was like a record and tape trader in Frederick. I was like, ah, oh, Just Erase, In Flames, cool artwork. Okay, I've heard of these guys, and I bought it.
That's great.
And, you know, nothing that came after that really sounds too much like Just Erase, and that's the one that all the diehard fans are like, it's not Just Erase. And while I don't subscribe to the In Flames suck, they don't sound like Just Erase theory, I do agree that Just Erase is probably their best album.
Yeah, I just looked it up, yeah.
You know, they had like the twin Iron Maiden harmonized melodic guitar work, and, you know, the vocals were pretty harsh, and the production was pretty decent, and yeah, you know, that, I mean, that's the one that got me into the band, so it's my favorite. I still like what they're doing now. Their last few albums have been pretty good. The style is obviously different, but they've evolved, and you just can't stop a band from evolving. Otherwise, you know, what's the point?
So yeah, but they were definitely still one of the, do you put them with like an At the Gates?
Yeah.
With the pioneers of that.
Sure.
Whole,
sure.
Yeah. I tell you, that whole Sweden there for a while was pumping out some freaking killer bands.
That's why it got to be called Swedish melodic death metal.
In fact, my classic, I'm teasing that, is from Sweden, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
My classic is not from Sweden. All right, well, the time has come again.
I see this on the list. This is gonna take some trying.
This is the softball I was going to lob you.
This is going to be a tough one.
This is convincing Buke. Last time, I failed to convince him that he should like Motorhead. This time, we're going to Overkill. And I'm working him over with The Years of Decay. We actually had this conversation when we were standing outside of Empire. The Years of Decay, easily my favorite Overkill album. Second to that would be Taking Over. The three songs from this album that you're going to have to listen to. First one is I Hate. That's probably my all-time favorite Overkill song. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it is a very pissed off song. This is the song you listen to when everybody's shitting on your day. You're just like, fuck, I hate.
I remember when they played it live. They were kind of playing some of their new songs, and you were, you know, you were you were liking it, but yeah. Then when they played this, you big old smile came to your face.
I play this song all the time, so you're going to have to listen to that.
Okay.
Second song you're going to have to listen to is called Playing with Spiders, Skull Crusher.
Oh, I like that.
I think you'll like this song because most of Overkill's material is fast thrash metal. Playing with Spiders is slow and heavy as fuck. It's kind of doom. So I'm curious to see what you're going to think of that. And finally, the title track, the epic song, The Years of Decay. There's clean guitars and pretty singing and heavy kind of doomy stuff and faster parts. And the song is just epic and the lyrics are incredible. If this does not convince you, I give up.
You know, the thing, I know that they're, you know, an amazing band. I guess it's the vocals that never hit with me. His voice.
He's got a great voice.
I know. I don't know why.
But you probably only focused mostly on the stuff in the last few albums, which,
yeah,
you know, his voice still sounds good, but it is a little shredded. So, you know.
So is he.
Yeah. You know, he's been around. He's got battle scars. So,
okay, well,
I'm going to post these songs up on Facebook for everybody to follow along. Check it out next week. Buick will come back and tell us how much he loves Overkill now. Any comments on this before we go?
I will go into it. Open ears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I will obviously listen to them. And I'm excited because, again, they're another band that I like their Ironbound album.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just a band that I've never known where to really jump into.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you're feeling adventurous, check out the Taking Over album as well.
Okay.
Fucking brilliant. That was the album that got me into them. I heard it on that Metal Shop radio show. In Union We Stand. Fucking Deny the Cross. Wrecking Crew. Oh, my God. Fear His Name. Fucking killer shit.
Yeah, why'd you go with this to convince me? Why that album over... Why the album you went with over that? Because Wrecking Crew is... Would you say that's their hit?
No, definitely not. No. If anything, I would say Years of Decay because Hello it was from more the varied.
What album was that off of?
Which?
Hello from the Gutter?
That's an album between Taking Over and Years of Decay.
Because that song I like.
Yeah.
Did you just realize that? Yeah, I see you kind of like...
No. It was a transitional album for the band. There's some good stuff on there, but because Years of Decay came out after that, It just kind of overshadows it a little bit. There is good stuff on there.
Okay.
So... Yeah, I mean, if you like Hello from the Gutter, then you ought to love Years of Decay album. I mean, that's also got songs on, I didn't put on there, like Elimination.
Oh, yeah.
You've probably heard that.
I've heard that, yep.
Time to Kill, you know, it's a killer album.
Okay.
All right. We'll get back to you on that next week.
Yep.
What are you listening to?
We mentioned it in new releases. I'm listening to the latest release, I don't know if it's their first release, but the latest release from Iron Reagan.
Okay, no, not their first release.
No, what's it, the Tyranny of Will?
Yes.
I tell you, it's a blend of fast thrash that Municipal Waste does. It's just punk elements. These are 1.5, 2, 2.5 minute songs. It's just fast, fierce, great lyrics, you know, some funny lyrics, and they're over.
You ever listen to Nuclear Assault?
No.
You should check them out. You might like that, you know, some of the early stuff. Game Over, Survive.
Okay.
Handle with Care. Couple of those albums. Definitely give that a listen.
So I've said it before in the podcast, I'm not a punk guy, so I can't speak on how much punk sound there is on this, but
it's definite crossover sound.
I tell you what I love his voice. I love what he does with Municipal Waste. This is just a cool little side project. So that's what I'm listening to this week.
Alrighty. Me, I'm eating crow this week. Not that you'd know it, but this is a French band called Blut aus Nord. They're a rather avant-garde black metal band from France. And they were one of the first bands I reviewed back in the days, like 10 years plus ago.
Do they sing in French?
No.
Okay.
Well, maybe sometimes, but I don't know all their stuff all that well. Because the first album that I heard by them was called The Work Which Transforms God. It's considered a classic from the band now. It was one of my first bad reviews that I wrote that I just fucking ripped it up because it was very avant-garde and strange and just... and then it was just so intense and extreme that back in, you know, 10 plus years ago, I just was like, nah, this is too much. This is shite. I listened to that album again the other day, just out of curiosity. It's actually, it's still kind of extreme, but it's good. I got into the band, I don't know, a year or two ago. I was curious as to whether I still felt the same way, whether they'd gotten better. And there was a trilogy of albums called 777. And when the first one came out, I was like, it's not bad. Second one came out. I was like, yeah, it's pretty good too. So I was actually buying them. Third one came out. I was like, yeah, this is good. I like it. I haven't gone back yet to check out the material in between all these years. But this new album that they haven't released yet, it's coming out shortly. It's called Memoria Vetusta III, Saturnian Poetry. There are two previous albums with the name Memoria Vetusta, if that's how it's pronounced. But they don't sound like this one. This one they really surprised me with. There's a fair amount of clean vocals, and it actually reminds me of like a mid-era Bathory album. Sort of like Hammerheart-ish. You know how on like Hammerheart, Quorthon was singing clean, but his voice was kind of strained and it has that same quality, and I'm just like, swing. You know, I don't care if you can sing well, if you sound like you're trying. And it's not that he's singing, it so reminds me of Bathory that it just was like hooked instantly. I have, in fact, ordered it on vinyl.
Good boy.
Should be coming any, I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know if it's released over in Europe yet, but should be coming relatively soon. Even the cover looks vaguely Bathory-esque. So I'll be going back. This is their 11th album, by the way. I'm going to be going back and exploring their back catalog. I know you'll never like it, but
I will check it out.
You might be able to get into this new album. You might dig it. All right, let's hear this classic for this week.
So, you know, we've said on the podcast before, we really like Sentenced, and I was listening to these guys the other day, not Sentenced, but I was listening to these guys saying, you know what, these guys have an early, these guys, the sound they have is Sentenced-esque. So my classic this week is a 1994 release from a kind of gothic, doomy band, Cemetery, their album, their album, Black Vanity.
Oh, yeah. I love these guys. I turned you on to these guys.
You did. You certainly did. I was listening the other day, and that song, Bitter Seed, off that album came on, and it just...
I feel like we talked about these guys before. Did we already do this one? Did I maybe do one? Or I don't know.
I don't know, so I'm doing it.
Yeah, fuck it.
Yeah, it's our podcast.
I was thinking I should probably go through and start documenting which ones we do so we don't redo them.
We probably should. We should.
Because it doesn't list them in all the... podcast
who cares,
and yeah, anyway, fuck it, go on.
But this album's great, you know, like I said, very, you know, you agree with me, the kind of Sentenced sound kind of comes kind through a little, of. Bit,
it,
a
it,
little bit,
it's more gothic, you know, I mean, this predated Sentenced, period,
yeah,
goth, you know when Ville joined the band, they were still around at this point, they were more death metal, but yeah, Cemetery started off. Their first album, An Evil Shade of Grey, was early death metal, and I fucking love that album now. I've been trying to find it on vinyl. And then with their next album, they started incorporating a little more gothic, you know, started cleaning up the vocals a little bit in terms of, you know, like actual clean vocals as opposed to harsh vocals. And by the time the band quit, it was very progressive gothic. Great. Was nowhere near death metal. And I wonder what that guy's doing now.
I don't know, but I was just going to say, what a fucking great voice he has.
Yeah, I know. He did another band called Sundown after that. And then there was like Cemetery, like 2113 or something like that. And I think that was between Cemetery and Sundown. And then after Sundown, I don't know what happened. I have to look him up.
We need to do some research then.
Yeah.
So that's my classic. If we've talked about it before, we apologize. But today, that's my classic. Cemetery, their album, Black Vanity.
Yep. Good stuff. My classic this week is an American band, Exodus. And their first album, Bonded by Blood.
And I'll admit, these guys haven't even given a fair shake, too. Also.
Yeah, I should probably do this. Maybe this will be the next a convincing buke. They're getting ready to release their new album, Blood In, Blood Out, with returned singer Steve Zitro Souza.
How'd that interview go?
Shut up. I dropped the ball. And I've heard the album, and it's pretty awesome. Pre-ordered it on vinyl. And yeah, I'm so glad he's back in the band. But I wanted to talk about Bonded by Blood as opposed to Blood In, Blood Out. because this is their first album and it's a fucking classic. And it doesn't get the credit it deserves. You know, the singer on this album was Paul Baloff. He's dead now, unfortunately. Hmm. This is the only album he was on, only studio album.
Is Gary on guitar?
Yeah, of course. And, you know, they're not even considered part of the Big Four. But of all the debut thrash albums from that time, this album came out in 1985. Take this album and stand it up next to Kill 'Em All. Bonded by Blood wins.
Really? Wow.
Put it up against Show No Mercy by Slayer. As far as I'm concerned, Bonded by Blood wins.
These are bold statements.
Anthrax, Fistful of Metal, Neil Turbin, whatever. Bonded by Blood.
Hmm.
Megadeth, Killing Is My Business, Bonded by Blood.
Testaments first.
The Legacy. That is probably the closest. It's funny because neither of them are in the Big Four. But as far as debut albums from all these early thrash bands, The Legacy and Bonded by Blood are probably the two best.
Hmm.
But Bonded by Blood just blew me away. The songs on there are amazing. You know, the title track is a fucking classic. And then there were None, Strike of the Beast, and Metal Command, and Piranha, and No Love. I mean, you know, Paul Baloff's voice was very not good in a traditional sense. And when I first heard Bonded by Blood, I was like, whoa, this guy cannot sing. But his voice has character. And, you know, he was no Hetfield. He was no Tom Araya. But honestly, you know, that album really left a mark on me. And I'm so sad that he's not around to enjoy the notoriety and you know, fame that comes along with being the singer on the first Exodus album. And frankly, I wish he was doing something new, you know. His voice had to have improved by now. But still, he has such a distinct voice. I love it. So if you have not heard the first Exodus album, Bonded by Blood, you need to hear it.
The only Exodus I've really heard is their, again, just like with Overkill, their recent albums.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, got to do something about that.
Mm-hmm.
What about, like, Fabulous Disaster?
Yeah, that's the one you gave me years back.
Yeah. Well.
That has Toxic Waltz on it?
Yes. All right. Well, those are our classics for this week. And here we are at the end. Mm. This is the end. I'm not going to sing that for you. But all right, we are here at the end of the episode. Another somewhat short episode. So make sure to check us out on Facebook, Metal Disciple Facebook page. Check us out on Twitter. I'm at DiscipleOVMetal.
I'm at OpethFan.
You can get a hold of either of us at MetalHeadsPod.
Mm-hmm.
We're on YouTube. You can watch videos or listen to the podcasts there. We're on Stitcher. And of course, you can always go to the website, wearemetalheads.com. All the podcasts stream on there. Plus, you can email us from there, and it should be able to jump to the Twitter and the Facebook and all that. So let us know what you think. How are we doing?
Thanks to everybody, again, who's retweeted, who's told their friends, stuff like that. Last week, we had a bunch, and I'm on the social aspect a little more than you are. But
yeah.
You know, we had a bunch of retweets. We had a bunch of people sharing the podcast. So thanks.
Yes, thank you very much. We hope to hear from you more. All right, let's close out the podcast this week with another song from Birch Hill Dam. This is the track Mastermind. See ya.
See ya.